Welcome to our village board meeting on Monday, the 22nd at 7. Before we take the roll call, I will let everyone know that Patty Hennick is attending by telephone and because of personal illness. So I would like to ask the clerk to take the roll call without Patty right now.
Trustee Corsini here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick. Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Yes, here.
Okay, so I'd like to move, if I can have a motion to have Patty go telephonically because of personal illness. If I can hear a motion in a second.
Second.
Thank you. If we can take a roll call on that. Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, so Patty, welcome.
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
And just one quick clarification. Make sure everyone use your, even though there's not many people in the audience tonight, make sure you use your microphone because then she can hear you. Right. Can really only hear you if your microphone's on.
Right. We should do that by
protocol.
But thank you for the reminder.
Would you tell Patty who else is here?
Well, she heard everyone.
You mean in the audience? Well,
if she has a question, she knows they're here.
Well, we have our normal Chief Weiss, John Anderson, Deputy Administrator Lisa Shiner, and John Pate.
Okay.
So, John. Okay. All righty. Sounds good. Do we have, let's pledge allegiance. Sorry, I almost forgot. We all can stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No? Okay. There are no citizens' comments, so we'll go right to the elected official comments. So I'll mix it up. I don't know. Who wants to go first? Why don't we go with Trustee Kirchner this time? We'll start your way and then this way.
I have nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
I have nothing.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have anything?
I have nothing.
Okay.
I will report that I met with a few people from the for the advancement of the welcoming resolution today. There's about four of them: Moni from Paso, Erica Buckner, a resident, who's been promoting a welcoming resolution in River Forest, Pastor Kyle from Grace Lutheran, and Anil, whose last name I don't remember, another resident from River Forest. So they're approached. They're just working on giving us information about the their ideas on the resolution.
Right.
I have a couple things. First of all, the tragedies involving the Des Plaines River Friday evening, afternoon. I happened to be driving back to my office and saw the commotion on the bridge. I was, to be honest, disappointed that River Forest at that point, 3 hours after the body was found, had no idea that this incident was in the process of being dealt with. I would hope that this is a one-time shot, but I think after an incident like this, some reflection could be benefited from to figure, maybe improve communication with the Cook County Forest Reserves, Cook County Sheriff, Maywood. And then again on Saturday, with the tragedy of the young man in the river, Melrose Park took that call. I guess just from my own personal knowledge, would it be in our best interest to have some kind of plan or knowledge of a plan of what if something happens in the forest preserve, who gets notified, who's responsible for what, how can River Forest help, that kind of thing. I'm not looking to put more work on Chief Weiss or Chief Eggert and their crew. That's not my intention here. I just think that the communication, we could have helped on Friday. When River Forest finally showed up at the scene, they closed westbound Washington Boulevard and made the situation considerably safer for the emergency responders that were working the scene. So that was from my personal assessment of being there for 3 hours on Friday. Just, you know, it's not that I wanted to hang out for there for 3 hours, but I parked my car along the curb and there were four fire trucks blocking me in, so I really couldn't go anywhere. And my second comment is more of appreciation. My wife, Sally, and I decided to walk the riverbank on Monday because that was when people were joining to do that activity. We started at Madison. We ended at the River Bridge. And, you know, we met a few people, whatever. But I was, for lack of better words, which is, I think this is an appropriate word, I ran into Tom Dart. Our Cook County Sheriff was there personally himself with one of his detective sergeants. He was very forthcoming with what his efforts were going to be in the future. And for the next few days, coming and going from my office, which I drive by Proviso East at least a half a dozen times a day, it seems like, they constantly had uniformed and non-uniformed personnel on the bridge and along the river, keeping an eye on the river in the event that the body would go by. Mm-hmm. I think credit is due to those personnel. Could things have been done better? I'm not in a position to say that. I just want to commend Sheriff Dart and his men for the efforts they made, what I saw with my own eyes throughout the week, and especially meeting him personally on Monday. Sally and I were standing on the bridge, and he came walking out of the woods with another, with his detective. So that's it. Thank you, Tom Dart.
Yeah. Let me just make a comment. Yeah, I agree. Tom Dart, Sheriff Dart, is a wonderful man, and he cares greatly about his group and the forest preserves and everything that he patrols. Again, I want to make sure that we don't lose your comments in terms of, you know, us getting involved and when we can get involved. And I trust that Chief Weiss has relationships across the municipalities, Melrose Park, Maywood, Forest Park, Old Park, all of them. And I think the way it works is if they believe they need additional help, they will call on River Forest and other municipalities for that help. I don't know if we insert ourselves or should we insert ourselves, because we have limited officers, as you know, and so long as they're not asking us to insert ourselves, I would say that it's important that we, you know, keep our town safe as well. So I guess I would look to Chief Weiss to say, do you believe at any point that, you know, that we're not following the official protocol, which is to ensure that we certainly help the hey, Patty?
Yeah?
You might want to put your phone on mute because we got a little feedback.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Nothing changed. That's weird. Yeah. Let me see.
No, Kathy, my comments were not detrimental in any way to Chief Weiss or what River Forest does. I just thought that I thought it was odd that there were so many emergency vehicles on Washington Boulevard, and River Forest simply didn't even get a heads up. Right. We didn't get a, hey, this is going on. You know, that's all I'm getting at. Yeah. I'm not saying that we should interject ourselves in anything. It's not our property. It's not our river. There's so many jurisdictions involved. Just offhand, Forest Preserve, County, Water Reclamation, Maywood, they were all the state. They were all there. IDOT was there. They were the ones that started. So six government agencies were there. I just thought it was strange.
Well,
that
it's
no
all part
one,
of their jurisdiction.
That no one gave River Forest a heads up. That's all I'm saying. So.
And I guess I would say that the protocol is they give you a heads up when they, you know, feel like they need you, that they feel like they need your resources. I just want to make sure that we're not missing anything here, Greg. And I look to you because I don't think there you know, we didn't know about it because we didn't want to know about it. It was just simply because they didn't need our help at that point in time.
Generally, we are notified. It depends on who's the first agency on the scene. If Maywood would be more readily let us know.
You might want to get to the, because I don't know if Patty can hear you. Sorry.
Generally, we are notified if it's a local jurisdiction that's first, one of the first responders. A lot of times when the state's involved, they might not even be concerned about whose jurisdiction. I understand both sides, what you're saying, as well as Trustee Gibbs. Trustee Gibbs' concern was that was causing an issue for River Forest on our side, and that's something that we should be aware of. But as far as us actually automatically getting involved in that, we're not going to do that unless called for, unless they're asking us for assistance. And we have a good relationship with the Chief Roberts over at the Forest Preserve, so there's something I could look into and find out why they didn't give us the courtesy to let us know. But we wouldn't normally just get involved in that unless we're asked, because there's jurisdictional issues. There's also some potential for subpoenas if we're involved in a crime scene, who was there. Sometimes it's better not for us to get involved in certain situations.
Okay. And well, Greg and I have talked a couple times about this. I'm just a procedural guy, and my thought was that in that case, just a heads up, I wouldn't expect River Forest to participate at all unless we were asked. But in this case, I thought it would have been courtesy from someone to let our village hall know what, I mean, people crossing over the bridge might have been calling River Forest Village Hall and saying what's going on, and honestly, no one here would have been able to help our citizens with that question. So that's it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have good relationships with all the chiefs yes. at Melrose Park and Maywood. I think that would be the proper place for that conversation to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, no, that's okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you said that's all, Mike?
Yeah. Okay. I think just for clarification, we're talking about two separate issues. One was a actually blocking traffic into town on Washington the day that they found something in the river, which was separate and aside from the search that was going on for the young man that jumped off the bridge. So,
yes.
And it just all seemed to happen mm-hmm. in the same
back
week.
Back-to-back days.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think even with the young man that passed away, there was still some confusion with who actually had the lead in that investigation, and just, you know, social media kind of goes a little crazy.
Was there confusion?
There,
I didn't know that.
As far as social media was concerned, you know, people were preparing search parties and all that other kind of thing because some, you know, the search was called off. And so, you know, how stories just kind of tend
right.
to create
mm-hmm.
more emotions.
On Monday, we were actually out there because we did get a call from a search. I believe it was one of the search teams that had a drone out there, and they thought they had spotted a body near Lake Street. So we were actually out there, and I was out there with one of my officers, and I believe Tom Dart had just got there right after I left, because the officer was still there, and I had asked her to stay there. You're right, there. That's a tricky area. The waterway is the DNR's. It's also counties, and it's also state jurisdiction. So mm-hmm. it is a tricky jurisdiction issue over there. But I believe Tom Dart just took the reins probably
right.
because he felt that, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I believe it was probably because he felt that the state wasn't doing what they were stepping up. So he actually had his people out there doing a little bit more.
And then what I just want to, you know, obviously our hearts go out to this family whose, you know, son tragically passed away in that accident. You know, we've talked about the Canadian National property many, many times at this board table. And it's just very upsetting, disconcerting. I mean, I read a quote from the representative from Canadian National who basically said, you know, nothing's going to change there with respect to trying to cordon off that bridge. You know, there's a sign posted, and for them, you know, that's basically, you know, a warning sign that says, you know, that should give people fair warning that they shouldn't be in that area or trespassing. And no one's going to excuse personal responsibility for, you know, what happened, but is there any way or anything we can do? We obviously know what a scourge that, you know, abandoned, and we call it abandoned even though they're not saying it's abandoned, but the whole property that runs through our town and Canadian National, you know, is just an eyesore and completely falling apart. You know, with this tragedy, I mean, I think, is there a focus? Even Tom Dart in the paper yesterday said, you know, he was going to try to do whatever he could to try to get some sort of resolution to even just that bridge area. You know, can we get Danny Davis's office involved? Can we somehow work with these other local municipalities to, you know, somehow get some resolution? I mean, for this rail line to ever come up to full compliance to be used again, I mean, it would take millions and billions of dollars. I can't understand how they would ever reuse that.
I believe Commissioner Boykin and both Danny Davis and Commissioner Boykin are looking at the bridge for sure.
Okay.
I don't know about looking at our piece going through River Forest, because I'm not quite sure we've ever brought that up as an issue, as danger of any kind. But I know that they're looking at that bridge as an unsafe bridge. So I hadn't heard that Canadian Pacific was not interested in fixing it. I heard the opposite, but I could be wrong.
That's maybe what I meant, that they are not interested in fixing it. They're saying, you know, it's posted and people should
There's
just beware.
Thousands. Of railroad bridges around the country that are just like those.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure other communities have trouble with the youth of America fooling around on these bridges. So I don't think we're a special case to them. It's just, since it's our town, we're fired up about it. But it has been going on for a while.
Yeah. Like I said, I think Boykin and Davis are looking at, you know, asking for more signs, more, you know, caution. Not this way kind of thing, or, you know, danger. So
I don't know if having signs isn't going to stop
the
teenager.
And that's what I said. You're not going to exempt personal responsibility for not trespassing. I mean, but, you know, in light of this tragedy, it just seems like there's got to be something more that we can do collectively if we can help out. So that's all I'm saying.
So what we've been doing is trying to step up enforcement along Thatcher. We've been stopping people that are coming off the tracks, either issuing warnings. Some of them are just people walking their dogs. So sometimes we have to weigh whether it's appropriate to cite somebody for like that. We've issued parking tickets for people that were been parked in that area because they would go out and take pictures. You know, we've reached out to Dominican University and let them know to pass on to their students what the rules are, because we found out that Dominican students routinely will go walking through the woods. There's a lot of reasons why people like to go through the woods. There's some trails. We encourage them to stay on the trails versus off of them. But once they go into the woods, it's hard for our officers to chase them into there, because if they get hurt, not the officers, but if the person getting chased gets hurt, now they're going to blame the officers for chasing them on foot. So if we see somebody, we're told to, you know, try to do strict enforcement if it's appropriate, and then give warnings when it's appropriate.
And maybe just, you know, it's a parent's responsibility to talk to our children and make sure that they know the dangers of, you know, wandering through and going on places like that that are not good news. So, but, you know, our hearts go out to that family, and we pray for them. I wanted to also just announce that I attended the point of dispensing meeting at May 10th at Dominican, which was attended by Forest Park, Elmwood Park, and River Forest. It's an update that they do biannually or annually. Ron Sherman was there giving an update on basically just a review of the plan. And I just want to say, you know, unless you're involved in this, you don't really understand. I mean, we just kind of take it for granted that we're going to be protected in the event that, God forbid, there's some sort of disaster with a mass casualty or mass dispensing of medication because of chemical outbreak. But the level of detail and planning that has gone into this plan over the last many years with all of our public safety personnel is just amazing. So I just want to shout out to everybody that's taken the time. We work with Cook County Health Department. We work with the state. It's just a huge undertaking, and they review this plan. There's detailed and levels of, you know, what would happen in the case that we have to set up a dispensing center at both at Concordia, and I just want to recognize all of our public safety personnel as well as our volunteers from the community. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Also, I did attend a meeting on Friday with a group of residents that were reached out to me in regards to this welcoming resolution suggestion, and just listened to their thoughts and ideas, and just wanted to let the board know that I attended as well. And I just wanted to also recognize that, again, we were in the newspaper as one of the Chicago suburbs that kind of bucked the minimum wage resolution from the county. And, you know, from a business person's perspective, there's several other towns that have followed suit with what we did. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I
Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing. Yep. Susan and I attended the first group subgroup meeting of the work group meeting for the Lake and Park process with Jennifer Tamman from Ehlers. Eric was there, and then our two representatives from the EDC. So that was our initial meeting, kind of set parameters. It was a really good meeting, and we'll be giving you updates as to how things are moving along as we have additional meetings. So
great.
Good positive feedback.
Okay. Patty, do you have anything? Patty?
She's
on mute.
Hello, Sarah. Sorry.
There you go.
Got it. No, just to say thank you to everyone for their well wishes, and look forward to being at the actual table next time. So that's it. Thank you. And thank you for the accommodation tonight.
You are welcome. Get yourself stronger. Okay, I just have a few things. First of all, congratulations to our very own Officer Sosnick for winning big on the wheel. Did you guys hear about this? He won 57,000, and we're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, we're going to Hawaii with him. Yeah. He doesn't know that yet, but we're all
I think his wife would be a little upset. And I think
we're fun people.
Yeah. He's never seen me on the wheel. I might be better.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, it was a great show. If anybody caught it, it was great. He did well. He was a lot of fun. So give him a big congratulations on behalf of the Board of Trustees and myself.
That's not a permanent loop on the website.
It is, and he did bring in donuts the next day.
Oh. So. All right.
In the shape of a
He let loose on that $57,000.
Yeah, with how much tax does he have to pay on that?
Did I hear he had $1,000 at Harry Carey's?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see Harry Carey.
Email.
Okay. All right. I went down to Springfield last Wednesday. It's all a blur now. With the West Central Municipal Conference, and I did meet with our Senator Lightfoot. There were two significant bills, Senate bills, that were up for a vote. Senate Bill 478, which is a two-year property freeze tax. It failed, which Lightfoot voted no, so we're very happy that she saw the positive light of freezing our property taxes without really freezing non-unfunded mandates. It seems a little hard, so she voted no. And there's also a bill, Senate Bill 42, which was taking away our local distribution fund. For the first year, it would be 10%, and the second year would have been 5%. Unfortunately, Senator Lightfoot voted yes for that bill. I think probably her point was she was more interested in getting education funding correct and shifting some of the monies from local government to school funding. Although, I don't believe that that's the way to fix school funding. There's other ways you can fix the school funding. So just wanted to give you that update. So it did not. It failed. I'm sorry. Both failed, but Lightfoot voted yes on Senate Bill 42, but they both failed. So that's good news. And then last, of course, our parade is coming up next week. So make sure if you like to walk, we would love everybody to be part of the I Understand We're Getting T-shirt. So
yes.
It's all good. So we're going to look like a team, which is great. And we start out at 10 o'clock right over there on Ashland, 1200 block of Ashland. So please join us for afterwards as well for a free hot dog lunch. Okay, that's all I have.
And so. June 9th, you'll be inaugurated as president, and that's before our next meeting. So,
right. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's all good. It's a great organization, and they do work hard on our behalf. And so does the Illinois Municipal League, too. So it's good, two good organizations that we're part of. Okay, thank you very much. So let's go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. If I can have a trustee move the consent agenda A through F.
I move consent agenda items A through F as presented.
Second.
Very good. Thank you. If I can ask the clerk to please read the consent agenda.
Consent agenda A, regular village board meeting minutes, May 8th, 2017. B, village attorney invoice, April 2017, $14,759.76. C, waive formal bidding and award contract to Ferguson Industries, Inc. for $49,990.24 for the purchase and installation of the second floor windows at the village's water pumping station. D, waive formal bidding and ratify contract proposal after the fact for emergency water repairs to Suburban General Construction, Inc. for $28,985. E, approve supplemental IDOT resolution of $100,000 for use of motor fuel tax for the design of the Chicago Avenue resurfacing project. F, village administrator's report.
I just had one question on the windows. I know this might sound silly, but HPC, did they look at the first floor windows when we put them in? Because that's a significant building. And we don't have to do that again, or do we notify them? Are they the same, basically the same windows, right?
There was a member of the HPC consultant.
Okay.
But they're the same as the first floor
right.
windows.
All right. Thank you. Yep. Just a matter of
yep.
process. Good
point. Okay. If you can please take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carkey.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Okay, very good. So moving on to boards, committees, and commission reports. These are standing village board committee assignments. If you can recall last board meeting, we assigned Trustee Corsini and Trustee Conte to the subcommittee for Lake and Park. These are just additional ones. These are for us here in the, around the table. So my recommendation is the following, and I hope to get those approved tonight. Finance Administration Committee, Trustee Corsini as the chair, Trustee Conte and Trustee Vasquez as members. The Village Services and Development Committee, I'd like to see Trustee Gibbs as chair, and Trustee Carkey and Trustee Hennick as members. On the CERT representative, I'd like to see Trustee Gibbs continue in his role as representing us in CERT. As the Subcommittee on Collaboration Committee, I'd like to see Trustee Carkey continue in his role in that committee, specifically, especially because of the key survey that's going on. On the Sustainability Commission, Trustee designee, this was part of our ordinance that we passed for the sustainability. My recommendation is Trustee Carkey. And that gives all the more senior trustees two roles on committees. So Trustee Carkey will be on the Subcommittee of Collaboration and Sustainability. Trustee Gibbs will be on the CERT and the chair of the one committee, Corsini on chair of one committee, and then on the Lake and Park, and then County on Lake and Park. So that's kind of my recommendation. If I can have a motion to move my recommendations, that would be great.
I move to concur with the recommendation of the village presidents for number 7AI to 7AV for the village board committee assignments effective May 1st, 2017. Oh, sorry about the AI.
Six.
I threw. Six. Yeah. Okay, six.
Okay, are you second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or concerns? Hearing none, let's go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carkey.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to unfinished business. This is a, I'd like to hear a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the adoption and execution of the right-of-way license and fiber optic cable agreement between the Village of River Forest and Wide Open West Illinois. And we'll let, once we get our motion on the table and seconded, we'll let Eric go ahead and explain what this is. So can I hear a motion?
I'll make the motion. I'll make the motion to approve the resolution authorizing the adoption and execution of the right-of-way license and fiber optic cable agreement between the Village of River Forest and Wide Open West Illinois, LLC.
Second.
Thank you. Okay. So with that, I will let our esteemed administrator take us through this.
Thank you. Yeah, real quickly, typically when the village will get requests for various utility permits, and those come through the means of utilities that already have some sort of standing agreement with the village. So with AT&T or ComEd or NICOR, there's already franchise agreements in place that provide that the village give reasonable consent to those approval of those utility permits. In exchange, we usually get taxes, fees, franchise fees, things like that. So there's a quid pro quo there. And that's where typically a majority of those utility permit requests come from. So about 18 months ago, we actually got a request from Wide Open West, and they're doing work. You may have heard of them. They're actually a cable company. They do marketing and advertising. They're primarily in the northwest suburbs with some south suburbs as well. And so they're actually acting not as a cable company in the traditional sense that you and I know, but acting more as a subcontractor for Verizon Wireless. So the wireless companies, which typically communicated with its businesses and customers through regular antennas that are on water towers and other towers, are getting into something called small cell technology. So they're putting up these small cells around on utility poles and other areas, and that's really to support the data network, all the 4G and things like that, that, as you well know, your phones are becoming more and more reliant on. And so these companies like Verizon, AT&T, et cetera, are trying to work on the back end to support that. So they came to the village asking for permits to run basically fiber optics in village right-of-way and state right-of-way, and then also convert some of that to utility poles as well through agreements with ComEd. And some towns have just taken the approach of, well, okay, we'll just sign off on it and go about our merry way. And we took a step back and said, well, you know, there's really no requirement to do so, right? So if they want a license agreement, there should be some consideration for that. So we took a similar approach with them initially that we did with our with T-Mobile. As if you recall through the budget proceedings, we have annual revenue through T-Mobile through a license agreement to allow them to put their antenna on our water tower down at Public Works. And so we took that same approach. They saw the dollar figure, said, no, we're not really interested in that. So there was some back and forth. And eventually what we decided to do was work out a deal where they would install dark fiber for the village in exchange for paying a fee. And so why is that a benefit to the village? Well, it's a benefit because we don't have any real strong connections connecting our three buildings. So that's Public Works, Garage, the pump station, and then Village Hall, right? And so right now, Village Hall and Public Works are connected by, and we do have the antenna down there, right? Right, to those two, right? So we have a line of sight antenna. We don't have anything down between the pump station and Village Hall, and then a lot of that is done through VPN connections, through internet connections, things like that. So a lot of towns have looked at municipal broadband networks, and some of them have also looked at just municipal networks of fiber for their municipal buildings. And so that's what we did. So what we're able to do is, as they roll this out for Verizon, they're going to essentially build us a network for the village. And that provides a lot of value, provides a lot of continuity and communications amongst the three buildings, allows us to go back and look at phone and data contracts to see if we can get some better, we can chop some of those off. So instead of having, you know, DSL or Comcast internet at the garage and at the pump station and at Village Hall, we may be able to start shaving some of that stuff off or looking at better redundancy options for those things. And then we have, and same with our phone system, and then we just have a secure independently owned data line that we'll be able to use to connect all those buildings. And it's really important, too, for your water system, because your water system really runs, obviously, on the people that serve it each and every day, but on computers. We have our SCADA system. That's a system of a series of alarms and controls that basically control the amount of pumping that goes on. And so now, obviously, it's important for the pump station in Berkshire to connect and talk to the water tower down at Public Works. And while that already takes place, this will provide a more dedicated and reliable way for doing that. So during our negotiations, in order to try to provide as much value as we could, we then also asked WOW to say, okay, not only do we want our buildings connected, we want the school district buildings connected. So we talked to District 90. They're in the middle of a fiber contract, but that's going to come up at some point here in the next 3 or 4 years, and they were certainly interested in that because then they'll own that, operate that. And so they've agreed to do that as well. So they're going to connect Roosevelt, Lincoln, and Willard together as part of this agreement. So if you look at the numbers in the memo, you know, I talked to our IT consultant. They said roughly, you know, you're looking at about $25 a foot for installation. So the total value of that, if you look at the just, you know, because it hasn't been fully designed yet, so I don't have the actual the footage. But if you did it as a crow flies, you're about 8,200 feet of fiber. This is a 10-year agreement. And so if you do the math, it's about $340,000 over the 10 years or $34,000 each year, roughly. So, you know, we're proud of this agreement. We think this is kind of the out-of-the-box thinking you all look for. We may not get the dollars and cents, but we're going to get the same relative value out of that. And so this is for your approval tonight.
I'm just curious. Does it add any cybersecurity by having the dark fiber? Is there any additional security, cybersecurity
issues?
You're saying? Or I was thinking maybe benefits. I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about technology, but it seems to be
it's more reliable. Fiber optics, and in the dark means it just hasn't been lit up yet. So that's what dark fiber means. It means that you have the pipe already. You just haven't made it. You haven't lit up for it to be usable. So once we
it seems
get
like a physical thing would be more secure than.
Well,
wireless.
Definitely more reliable. I mean, security is all what I think. I'm not
something
a security, but
entirely.
It's something that they hack into, you know, your apps and other. Okay. But this, it's actually gives you a lot more reliable, right? You're not, you know, between the wind, the snow. I mean, all of that. It's all underground, so it avoids
thank
all
you.
That.
I'm not that good. I appreciate that.
But you know, I got a couple quick questions. Mm-hmm. What's the difference of a small cell? What's a small cell technology, and how does that relate to this?
So the small cells, in my understanding, are just a series of smaller antennas that these these Verizon wants to see on utility poles, other antennas, things like that. So in order to get the data there, they're running fiber to those small cell antennas.
Instead of one big giant one, they got a bunch of little ones.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And you know there's legislation that's trying to restrict us.
Right.
Okay, you're aware of that. Okay. I've got only a 10-year agreement. Why not a 50-year agreement?
No, because then after 10 years, if they want to renew it, we can ask for more stuff.
But they're already laid the fiber.
True, but that's, I mean, that's today.
It might not be using fiber.
Well,
fiber could be obsolete.
Fiber will never. I mean, fiber has been around forever. That's where that's all your hard lines.
Yeah. Hard lines that everybody's getting rid of.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they can't have cells through it. No, landlines are, you know, they're getting rid of it because they're using cells, but it's more reliable. That's why cell companies are going back to the fiber.
Well, this is just really helping us lay that infrastructure down, right, so that we can access the infrastructure with our
own. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why not something longer, just. You feel comfortable?
Yeah, no, I thought 10 years and it, you know, was a good value. Yeah. It was a good amount of time for the value that we were getting. If we went longer, I would want more, I guess, more or less.
So what would happen after 10 years?
After 10 years, we continue. The fiber's ours.
It's ours. Okay.
They're going to deed that to us, bill of sale, and it's ours. We own it. So my hope is in 10 years, they're like, hey, we want to renew. I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do for us now?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because after 10 years, they'll need a new license to use the right away, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I sort of remember this dark fiber thing. Is this the same deal that you talked about then?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the conclusion of that. Yep.
All right.
I was confused. I thought we actually did that one.
No, that was just an update to say we were doing it.
Okay. And then I got one last question.
Go.
So how does this relate to the antenna that Verizon's putting up in Concordia?
I would have to double check their plans that that we were looking at for
you
the.
Think they're taking it?
No, I don't. I think they're doing. My guess is they're doing both.
Okay.
Yeah. And Verizon. You know, and again, I'm not an expert, so no, this isn't the gospel truth. But everything I know about the small cell stuff really is pushing more to the data side of things, so to support that 4G network. So,
okay.
But that would be a good question when they come in for their PD. We could ask them that too. Yeah.
Okay.
Good job, Eric.
Yeah, it's an awesome agreement.
It's
and
big in kind.
This is cool in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's coming from a technology world.
And for the schools too.
And for the schools.
That's why we need the 10 years.
Okay. This is great collaboration between both you and the schools, so thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Okay, any questions other than what's been addressed? If not, can we please take the vote?
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Okay, moving on to then new business. First item is if I can get a motion to amend Title 8 of the Village Code.
I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance increasing the number of Class 4 liquor licenses from 4 to 5.
Right. Can I hear a second?
Second.
Also, I think Susan got the second. Any, this is to give fresh time and ability to sell liquor. So you might want to explain for the new trustees kind of how our process works. We kind of take the when we lose maybe a restaurant or liquor license, we actually take it off and then add it back when we get a new one. That might be unique here.
Yeah, so we don't, I think the long and short of it is we don't have extra liquor licenses on the books.
Right.
If we had that, then anyone could come in and just, if it met the minimum qualifications, completed an application and passed the background check, they would then qualify and we would be obligated to give them a license. This provides that check and balance so that the law contemplates that the corporate authorities have a little bit more discretion in how they issue liquor licenses, right? You're just not giving them out willy-nilly. There's some qualification and you have some control over that. So that's essentially what that does. It provides someone wants a license, they have to come in, and if there's nothing on the books, they have to appear before you and get that permission. When they come to you at this point, they've gone through the application process, they've gone through the police department and been background checked, fingerprinted, things like that. So they're clear and ready to go. They have our staff support, but they still need your authorization, and that's what you're doing tonight.
Remind me who the Class 2 is again? Class 2 license?
Hang
we
on
have
second.
One.
Oh, is that the...
Hang on a second. Let me bring it up here. Sorry.
Is it Noodles?
Noodles?
Is Noodles, is that the Class 2 is a restaurant? Yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Noodles.
Okay.
Yep.
I couldn't remember. Starbucks wanted it one time, but they never came back.
Never came back?
Right?
No.
Okay, so Noodles, and then this is just the package. Package.
Okay.
And we have something here from Fresh Time.
Sorry?
Randy's in the audience. Randy.
From Fresh Time.
Randy.
Randy's last name. Sorry.
There you go. Okay, well, roll call.
We saw the awnings.
Randy Santos, right? Yes.
I don't think there's any questions for Randy. Are there? If there is, he'd be happy to answer them. Welcome. We're eager.
Nice shiny awnings you put up today.
Yeah. Actually, I saw cars in the parking lot, and I thought, wow, you guys open today? And it actually looked like you guys, it was like there's a lot of activity. So let's take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Okay, that passes. Thank you. Okay, the second up is the adoption of the Village Board policies for communication, Village attorney contract. If I can get a motion to approve the village board policies for residents and village attorney communication, and then we can talk about it.
I move to approve the village board policies for resident and village attorney communications.
Here's a second.
Second.
Okay. Alrighty. So, you know, since we're all policy wonks at this table, I think one of the things, and certainly Trustee Corsini has been at us for this, is that, and it came to light actually when we started talking about what really is our protocol for communication and communication to the village attorney. And even though we said, oh, well, this is what it is, but we never had anything really in writing. And so village administrator Eric and our attorney kind of put something together that thought, you know, would entail everything that could possibly really happen and the need for it to happen. On the communication side, the key there was, you know, if some resident sends us a note and copies two or three of us, how do we respond? If they just send a note to one, how do we respond? And then what if I bump into that person and say, hey, I have this problem, I didn't know about it. So we really needed a policy to say, how do we coordinate this activity? And it makes much sense that village administrator Eric is the, you know, kind of the key to that. So, you know, they put that policy together, and I think it reads very well. And the village attorney, kind of the same thing happened. Is when do you speak to the village attorney, and how do we do that in a prudent, you know, fiscally responsible way? Because, as you know, our village attorney is on an hourly rate, and so we thought, yeah, that's true. So we need a, you know, kind of a way to funnel questions through the attorney without having duplicate calls either. So that was the extent of which both of these policies came about. So I don't know, if, Eric, if you want to make any comments on them, but I think they're all working very well.
I don't think there's anything in them that is different. It's more of a memorialization of what
exactly
we do and clarification. I think, as I told Trustee Vasquez on the phone today, it's nice when you have new trustees, because you have to go back and, like, you know, you've been doing things so long and in a habit, and it's not that it's wrong. It's just good to go back and revisit those things, and then
right.
sometimes
memorialize.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's really what that is. Right?
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, especially because we have new folks. It's nice
right.
to review that. And also, it's just a way that we can check to make sure that we're getting back to our residents, too, in a timely manner and a consistent manner, and so people understand, you know.
Right, and we're gonna put these on our website, so they'll be listed there. And then I had Greg look at the only other act of policy that I'm aware of that we have for the board that isn't in the code is actually the policy that deals with telephonic participation. So Greg has taken a look at that. He blew the dust off of that, made some recommended changes, and we'll get that on consent for the next meeting.
Right.
I like that you guys put this together. Simply from a fiscal responsibility thing, no offense, Greg, but I upstairs is a great resource, a great clearinghouse of information, and I always think of staff and Eric and your team as the first person that I ask, because, I mean, you've been here a long time. We've all been here a long time, but if you're the wheel, the center of the wheel, and everything goes through you, you could say, you know, for example, well, a year and a half ago this came up, and, you know, Lance said this. So, you know, that kind of institutional knowledge where the individuals at the table or at staff might not know, but you might have a handle on this being talked about before and a general idea of what the answer was. And a lot of times, you know, the trustees that would need a clarification or an answer instead of going straight to someone that's going to charge us when they answer the phone. So I appreciate that this was done.
And I prefer Eye of the Storm versus...
Oh, yeah, it's stormy.
Yeah.
It's center of the wheel.
And the other...
The problem with being the Eye of the Storm is that means you're surrounded by nothing good.
Greg is... See, when you call Greg, it's like buying a vowel, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm free.
Yeah,
right.
250.
Right.
So, what? We're calling you Vanna now.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So any other, thank you, Mike. Any other comments?
Yes, I do. I would have, number one, I was the beneficiary before the policy actually was written, because then when I became a new trustee, I did, was approached by email from someone who had a concern in the village. And the first reaction I had is, okay, now what am I going to do? So I do appreciate this, and I agree with the resident communication. Regarding the village attorney communication, I'm going to be somewhat defensive of the attorney, although I do appreciate the fact that we got to be fiscally responsible. But I also find that it helps to have a main source to collect whatever questions we may have, because I know, I'm not going to put Greg on the spot, but as the question may vary from trustee to trustee, not that it's intentional, but if certain trustees change the facts, so to speak, the opinion may change. So if it gets funneled through one individual, I think that would help clarify whatever questions we have and also make us more consistent in the responses that we get. So.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments, questions? Hearing none, if I can ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to the last item C. This is the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation Leadership Lab. If I can get a motion to approve the village. We're not going to have a motion.
No action.
Just a discussion.
Yep.
Well, I'd like to get everyone's, at least a consensus. The leadership lab, well, Susan, you know a lot about this, and we've sent people from River Forest to it. Remind me who a couple.
Jim O'Shea
went.
Phil Cotter went.
And you've seen it in your packet, the benefit of the leadership lab. It really is kind of bringing leaders, like new leaders, and I guess we could have all benefited at some point in time. I thought the new trustees could benefit from this leadership lab, so I'm making a recommendation to all of you that we send Patty and Russ to this class. And it starts in September, and it goes over, I think, like every Friday for a period of 9 months, something like that.
One Friday a month.
Right, one Friday a month for 9 months or something like that, right? I don't have it in front of me.
Yes, it looks like nine.
Rez, do you want to go?
Well, of course I talked
yes,
to them about
yes.
it. I talked to each one of them about it, and I thought it would be a good thing to go to.
And they revamped it. This is a
new program. It's going to be really, really, I think, good. And it's a good thing, and they'll give us feedback on it, and if it's something we could continue to do, it would be something that I would encourage other trustees to participate in as well. But
do you get credit for it?
Do I get a diploma after this?
Gold star.
Do you get CRE credits? I don't know. That you're going to have to discuss with the teacher.
Yeah, please bring back some good stuff to share with us.
Okay. So hearing no real opposition, I'll assume that we got consensus on this. So congratulations. Go get smarter.
Get smart.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I think that ends our regular scheduled meeting. So if I can have a motion to adjourn into recess into executive session to discuss personnel, collective bargaining. Is that correct?
Yep.
I move to recess into executive session to discuss personnel and collective bargaining.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All right. So then vote for that. Okay. You need a vote.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Okay. We'll take a two-second breather and come into executive session.
I move to go into open session.
Okay, can I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, can I take a roll call, please?
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aducey. Here.
I move to adjourn.
No. Okay. No, she's got a couple things that we want to review.
Draw that.
He wants to move. It's 9:10.
We're going to hurry. You got 9:10.
All right. Two things real quick. Number one, we'll have updates at the next meeting, actually on North Avenue TIF, and then also on the comp plan. So we're interviewing firms this week, and we'll bring those back to you at your next meeting in June for selection of a consultant for the comprehensive plan. Okay? So that's coming up. And then summer schedule. So here's what we're looking at right now. Meeting on June 12th, so that would be a regular meeting. There will be a committee of the whole on June 19th. Then no meeting on June 26th. In July, we'll have one meeting on July 10th. And then we'll be off until August, where we have our regular meet. We'll do one meeting in August, and we'll split the difference. We'll do it on August 21st.
So 7:10.
So let me say that one more time. June 12th, board meeting. June 19th, committee of the whole. July 10th. And August 21st.
Board meetings.
Board meetings, yes.
I may have a conflict on the 19th. So.
On the 19th
of June. For COWS.
So you won't be here the 12th and the 19th?
No, I will be here on the 12th.
Oh,
for June. I'm talking about this COW meeting. On
okay.
The 19th.
I've got you down from 6:08 to 6:11 being out. No?
Oh, well. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, but I'm saying I didn't. Okay. I'm not on vacation, but the 19th as a COW, that wasn't a planned board meeting, so I may have a conflict that night.
Okay.
No, it wasn't a planned board meeting. It was always set aside as a committee of the whole. That's the third Tuesday.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll only have one committee of the whole, I think, in the summer. And then, I talked to each one of you, you know, the part of the what we'll do on that committee of the whole is have a public hearing on the consideration or discussion on the welcoming resolution. So that would be on the 19th.
It's July.
That would be the count.
That's
June 19th.
Thank you. June 19th. Sounds good.
Okay. Okay. So just to let you guys know.
Hope everyone can come to Cardi Q.
Yeah, Cardi Q.
Sunday, 5. We're having live music.
Oh, who's live?
It's a guy that my wife heard at Scratch.
Yep. All right. All right, so now we can have a motion to adjourn.
Now I move to adjourn.
Okay. Anybody second?
Second.
All right. I think we could say all in favor.
Yeah?
All in favor?
Aye.
Yay.
Opposed? No nays? No nays.